Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. Here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we're here with Damien. You can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast, Facebook.com/TheComicRoast, Instagram.com/ReviewAndRoast, /TheComicRoast, /1177, we're all over the
hashtag.
Place. Just search some stuff out and find stuff. Our number one for today is Grass Kings, number one by Matt Kent on Boom. And our over-under is going to be owning property. So get ready to adult with the Comic Roast today.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it was super weird.
I was air drumming King Horse.
Well, that explains it. So, how has everyone's last 2 weeks been?
It's been good.
My cough is almost gone, so that's all right.
Neat.
Suck it.
Right. I read some singles. I started Horizon Zero Dawn. That game is... visually, one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life.
Dizope.
And so far, I'm digging the story. I'm digging the game. So it's definitely worth a checking out.
Scott doesn't like it because there are certain things that he didn't know how to do.
Hey, they didn't bring it up, and I haven't played around with it because it's so engaging. I just keep going. I don't really worry too much about the crafting side of it yet. But hey, that's going to be my first thing next time I get on.
Yeah, that looks so fun. I noticed every time I sign into my PlayStation, I can see, like, Chris has earned 2 medals in Zero Hero, whatever, Zero Horizon Dawn. Or whatever. It's like, oh, good job, Chris.
Yeah, I was actually looking this morning, and he got the hidden trophy, or one of the hidden trophies. I'm like, man, this guy's playing the shit out of it. And then I look and see it's common, like 80% of the people have it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so, dude, I'm, can't dude, be I'm not that even hidden. Halfway through the game.
You stink.
Well, there's just too much to do. I've been doing, like, side quests.
No, I'm nowhere near as far as you are, so I'm just talking shit.
I mean, you can level your character up to 50.
Well, I'm already 49, so...
All right. Sniff.
All I did was turn the game on, so I'm just awesome.
I turned it on, and look, there it was. Yep. I was already at 49.
And if anyone, any of you listeners out there are... of the Overwatch variety, the new character is out. Orisa, new tank. She's all right.
I like her.
I like
her. Is it a new
character? Yes, this sure is.
Oh, shit. I haven't turned that on for a couple weeks.
I think she's actually pretty good.
She can project a barrier, which is kind of neat. Her gun is fucking nasty.
She has a barrier, and she can, what else?
She powers
she
up the entire
she can heal
team.
Everybody.
Powers them up. That's what her special does.
Yeah.
And she has this. Nice. She almost has like a mini Zarya special with the power of attraction. Thinks she could shoot a ball out and pull people in, which is kind of neat. And what else can she do? She can fortify herself, which drives me nuts. Because as someone who plays a lot of Reinhardt, when I go to tackle somebody and she just fortifies, it stuns me. So that's super annoying.
She can make pancakes.
Yeah, with or without chocolate chips. So. I don't know, I was just rolling with it.
I have not updated that game in a while.
I'll take competitive, I'll take capture the point, and I'll take a side of bacon.
Some hash browns.
Right.
Black Hammer's back.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been more excited to go to A&F today.
What's back?
Yeah.
Black Hammer.
Oh, neat.
Dude, that was it has barely been gone. Dude, I love it. I'm super stoked right now.
Brian's excited to get some Black Hammer.
Dude, Black Hammer is great. I don't know why you stopped reading it.
Black Hammer, Doom Patrol, Department H, all new this week.
Nice. Oh, I'm going to have a lot of money spent today. Damn it.
Yeah, I went with my daughter yesterday and bought those. And then I also bought that King City graphic novel by Brandon Graham.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I still haven't read it. I've really been digging Brandon Graham, and kind of bummed that Island's gone. Now that Island's over.
Oh, nice. I don't know.
Yeah, last issue. 15 was last issue. Do you guys see all the hoopla about the last issue?
No.
Like, there was a big Twitter war about it for a while.
Like, good or bad, or?
Kind of not, I mean, not great. One of those moments where, you know, our sensitive, left-leaning sensibilities can sometimes, I think, get a little out of control.
Mm.
The art on the cover is awesome. It's this woman drawn in a way that you might consider would maybe be more stereotypical black woman.
Accentuated lips and...
Well, not really. I mean, it's sort of... You'd have to see it. I mean, you could probably pull it up. I'm of the ilk that I thought this got a little out of control, but it's certainly problematic. I mean, it's real stylistic, like almost more, you know, the kind of sense of a graffiti kind of art style.
Oh, okay.
And the comic that accompanies it on the inside's, I think, pretty good, too. But it's one of these things where people saw that, and then they researched the gender and the race of the person who drew it, and it's apparently a white guy. And
oh,
people got really,
whoopsies.
People got pretty bummed about that. And I can certainly understand that perspective, but at the same time, like, the fact that you're like, you had to look at that art and be like, all right, time to find out whether or not I should be offended or not. I think that was where I kind of lost the people who were sort of getting mad at Brandon Graham. Yeah. Brandon Graham actually was like, you know what? This is the first time I learned that person's race and gender. Like, I never occurred to me. It's like when people go see a Chuck Close exhibit. You know, Chuck, do you guys know Chuck Close?
No.
Glenn Close?
He does these, you've probably seen his stuff before. They're not always giant, but he does these, like, massive photorealistic paintings. And they're super impressive in their scale. And then he'll also do, like, tiny ones, or he'll do ones that are real abstractions. But, like, the farther you get away, they just look like photographs. But they're just painted, you know, he paints them, which is impressive. And then, of course, it becomes more impressive when you discover that he is paralyzed from the neck down and just paints with his head.
Wow.
So that's super impressive. But it shouldn't really necessarily change your opinion on the art, as opposed whether you like it or not, whether you think it moves you or not. Like, whether it's impressive or not, absolutely. I mean, I think that's absolutely, like... It's absolutely impressive. Like, when I saw the Chuck Close things, I remember my first thought was like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, they look like giant photos. Yeah, I remember that being my thing. Like that's cool. I know. I mean, photorealism is super difficult, but, you know, it is doable. Like, it's not like he's composing symphonies or something that have to come, you know, completely from your mind. Like, this is work more than it is almost like art. So I was kind of like, meh, when I first saw Chuck Close things. Then when I learned he was, you know, he hadn't always been disabled or anything either. He had fallen. He had had a stroke or something. Okay, see. He had had a stroke or something, and it paralyzed him. So he had to basically work his way back from having already been like a really accomplished artist to learn a brand new way of painting. In fact, he learned a brand new way of doing those giant things where he built something in his house where the canvases like sink down into the floor so you can do the tops of them.
That's neat.
Yeah, so the whole thing is super cool and impressive, but it doesn't necessarily – that reflects on the artist doesn't necessarily for me reflect on the art. And I think this is one of these things where people have a hard time, you know, separating the two. Like, if we're going to do that, if we were going to, like, I think, cut out all of the artists in the world who themselves are kind of terrible, but their art is still great, like, there would be, you know, black metal. There'd be – people wouldn't go see The Ring Cycle by Wagner because that guy was a total anti-Semite. I mean, there's, even though that's like one of the biggest things at any orchestra, opera, at any opera house in any city, any time of the year, is a Ring Cycle.
Yeah, I mean, no one is boycotting Disney. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't
know. So anyway,
that could
be a big to do.
That could be a long, drawn out conversation because, I feel like the internet kind of doesn't allow for things to simmer for a minute and for somebody to consider like all the angles. They see something, like you said, do I get offended by this? If the answer is yes, they go immediately online and they, you know, rage against it. Sometimes, yeah, like you said, sometimes you just gotta like, you separate the art from the artist, blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes I feel like there's a weird like pass that a handful of people get. Sometimes like, when Lena Dunham talks, every time I cringe, but it seems like it's not entirely a unanimous thing that people are like, oh, man, she's really kind of a horrible person sometimes. I feel like she gets a – like, she's just one example. But I feel like she gets kind of a pass in a way, and I'm kind of confused by that. But, again, that conversation can go on for days and days and hours.
Oh,
years,
definitely. So. Yeah, I wasn't trying to immediately jump into one of those things. I just I did want to bring it up because Island is one of my – was one of my kind of favorite anthologies that had come out recently. And I really like Brandon Graham's work, and he had gotten a little defensive about it. But then he kind of changed his mind. He saw the point of the people, and I – again, I don't think they were wrong necessarily, but I do think it was more of like what you're saying of like there's this just lack of nuance I think that comes with the internet, and yeah. I mean some of I think people getting offended is less of like I want to make sure that you know the world is open to everyone and less of or is less of that and more of like what am I going to do today, like what's my thing, like like I've read these books, I've seen some movies, I don't really feel like doing anything, maybe I'll go online and just fuck with people, like it feels like kind of a different kind of troll.
Yeah, and I feel like it inspires people who maybe aren't like the most considerate to find it easier to jump to like say an alt-right position altogether because they're like, well, I was already kind of like floating in the middle but leaning a little bit in that direction, but all these people jumping out and making all these wild accusations, well, now it just makes it that much easier for me to just fall into that like completely rigid, I don't know, again.
Yeah, like these guys might be assholes, but they see my side of this thing, and it's like, yeah, that's not your home. Like, those aren't your friends.
Right.
Sweet.
Scott fell asleep.
Well, like you said, it could be a super long conversation, no, so I'm not trying to add to it, you know what I mean? So unless right. anyone's got anything else, like...
like how much energy am I going to have before I'm just like, okay, fine, you're right, whatever. Totally.
So if anyone's got
yeah, that was weird. That was weird. The Skype like stalled, and then you guys came back. It was really weird.
That'd be really neat. I didn't get that on this side.
All I got really is two things, three, but I'll save one of them for the end. First,
I mean, the one takeaway is the comic roast is now alt right. Is what everyone should not take away.
Yeah, we are alt left of middle-ish, slightly down, and falling on its side. I think I've mentioned before that I've kind of got a like slightly new addiction to tabletop games on my phone. And yeah, I keep buying them, and I bought another one a couple days ago. I got a new phone, for one, and these games play amazingly well on my phone, so it's got me, it gets me the ability to play Ticket to Ride and Le Havre at lunch, which is kind of cool, because now I have yet another excuse to talk to no one. But I don't know if anyone else watch that series on Cinemax, Quarry?
What was it?
Quarry?
Never heard of it.
No.
It's based on those books by Max Allen Collins, the Quarry novels. They're like.
Yeah, no, I know him, but I do not know the books.
They're basically like noir pulp novels he wrote. I want to say maybe in the 70s or 80s, but I guess somebody's been trying to adapt them for years. They finally brought it to Cinemax about a year ago. It just happened to, because I bought a new phone, they had a deal. If you could buy this phone, you get a $200 Best Buy gift card. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I do that then? So I was like, oh, I'll take this opportunity of having free money to buy some DVDs. Bought the first season of Quarry, and it's really good. It's basically about a guy who comes back from his second tour in Vietnam, and he's in, I don't know if this is, I'm assuming this is a real thing, the Quan Dinh Massacre? Was that like a thing?
Maybe. I mean, I know My Lai, but I...
Yeah. Could be. He comes back, and whether... I haven't gotten that far into it yet, but whether or not he was involved in the Quan Dinh Massacre, he's automatically, like, being targeted the second he gets off the airplane. So he comes home to his wife, and he's trying to rebuild his life, and basically the entire town is turned against him because they see him as a baby killer. And he's trying to find a job. He's having a real hard time with that. And this contract killing thing comes up, and he gets wrapped up in this whole thing. But, man, it's slow, but it's really dark, and it's really good. I mean, I like Max Allen Collins anyway, so I was super excited to watch this. And, yeah, this is kind of filling the Justified Void for me in a way.
Okay.
It's not quite as, like, it's not quite as fun as Justified could be at times. Like, some of the quips back and forth between, like, Raylan and Boyd and some of the other characters. But Dewey Crow is on the show as well as a gay assassin, which is awesome. Because he's really awesome on this show, too.
That's awesome. So, like, I love Dewey Crow.
Yeah, like, one minute he's in a gay nightclub and he's dancing around like a rainbow-colored shirt, and the next moment he's, like, crushing someone's face with a bat with nails sticking out of it.
Awesome. That sounds. What's this show again?
Quarry.
Quarry. Like going down to the quarry.
Yeah, the guy's name I forget is like Leonard McCoy or something like that. But he gets the nickname from the broker. He's like the mysterious like kingpin guy. He basically keeps egging this guy on to take on this contract killing stuff, and he keeps trying to resist, but he keeps getting yanked into it. And he meets him down in a quarry to discuss what's going to happen. And he's like, no, I think I'll just call you Quarry, because just like this place, it's a vast pit of emptiness, and that's what you are. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome. He said it a lot more like dramatic than I just did, but
he's like, that's just mean. You're mean.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird because the show is a little slow, but when it gets like super dark, it gets super dark. It's really rad, though. I totally love this. Like, there's like 12 or 15 books in the Quarry series. I'm like, I have to get all these immediately. Oh my god.
Okay, I am certainly interested.
Yeah, I think the first season was $20. So I mean, it's kind of falling in between that Justified and True Detective territory for me.
Okay. I'm all about that stuff.
Yeah, you'll definitely like it. I almost guarantee you'll love it.
Nice. Yeah, you know, speaking of noir, I wanted to jump in real quick. I rented a Norwegian noir movie called Order of Disappearance the other day, and it's got a really strange ending, but it's pretty good. It's got that Stellan Skarsgård guy.
There's one on TV. I can't remember the name of it though.
Norwegian noir.
Yeah, and it's all in like whatever it is, Danish or Norwegian or forgot the name of it. It's like a one name to one word. I'll have to look it up. Go on.
Anyway, it's called just Order of Disappearance, and Stellan Skarsgård's the guy from like the Thor movies. The guy who's a scientist, you know.
The older Skarsgård,
yeah.
Not the
vampire one, but the other one.
Okay, yeah, because there's Peter Sarsgaard or whatever, the one that was in Green Lantern, and then obviously the younger guy that was in Tarzan or whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, the older one.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays his father, whose son is killed, and it's made to look like a drug overdose, but he knows he's not, and you know, the in like noir style, like he's got some strange job. Like his job is to be the snowplow that like plows this road between these two towns, basically. So he's got some like cool, sad job, you know, that he has to do. And it's, you know, it's one of those things like when you're grieving, you can't stop doing your job because people rely on you to do this. But you know, you find out that he's got connections to a criminal past through his family and just through the life he used to lead. And then so he goes on this essentially just murder spree through Norway of all of the people involved in his son's death. And it does this interesting thing I'd never seen before, is that every time somebody dies in it, the screen goes black for a second, and then there's like a cross and their name and then possibly a nickname, and then that's it. And then if someone, like at one point, like a Jewish guy is killed, and there's a little star David and his name, and then there's also the Serbian gang that's involved in this whole thing, and like so they have like a more ornate cross. It's cool.
Where is
it? It's an interesting little thing.
Where did you find it?
Just at the video store. My video store is closing at the end of the month, so I'm getting in as much as I can.
Oh, okay. I'll have to write this one down.
Yeah, so that was they get a lot of cool like indie movies. It's got some problems, but I'd say it's, you know, I would still recommend it. It's just the ending is very strange. Like it's just one of those things where it ends, you're like, what was that? That was crazy. But it's good. I liked it quite a bit. And that little weird visual trick is quite cool, because things, you know, there is something kind of lost in the language a little bit. The subtitling on it's pretty good. Like sometimes you can watch a movie and you realize the subtitling is terrible. Like, you know, they talk for like 4 minutes and just says like sup or something in the subtitle. You're just like, oh, come on. I know there was more there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, guy's mouth.
Trapped. That's what it's called.
Trapped.
What channel is this?
It's on Viceland. Hmm.
And it's like a, it's not like a documentary thing?
No, it's a crime, you know, noir, kind of like the Killing.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's like that. I saw it one day. It's not in English. It's all subtitles because they're all speaking. Well, I guess it's Icelandic.
Oh, okay, cool. I'd be fascinated. I'd, you know.
So Bjork is going to probably make an appearance on it if she hasn't already.
Well, there's only like 7 people live in Iceland, so she has to at some point.
Well, I need to move. Make
it. But yeah, I came across that one day. I was like trapped. I'm like, oh, this sounds kind of cool. And so I turn it on. I'm like, oh, it's all in some sort of Scandinavian language. I don't know which.
It's all in Sigurosese.
They're speaking that Viking talk.
I'm into it.
I'll check that out too.
But yeah, so that's on. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Well, I guess going back to strange endings.
But apparently, if you do a Google search, there's a whole slew of them.
Like on American
Nordic
TV?
Noir. No, Nordic noir.
It'll be my new thing.
Well, noir is one of the more popular genres, whether people realize it or not. So,
well, I guess it's just starting to kind of make, like, kind of break through, and I guess people are starting to take notice of it, because there's, like, when I Googled it, there's, like, a ton of entries.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, watch
and articles and stuff about it, like, you know, it making a breakthrough in, you know, in the U.S. and blah, 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 and...
Yeah, watch one British crime show on Netflix, and that you'll get like 7,000 suggested to you afterwards. There's a lot.
I'm into it. I gotta get on that Peaky Blinders show one of these days.
I think Mike just started that. I think. I don't know. All right, so should we move into Grass Kings?
Sure.
Well, okay, well, this was Damien's pick, so as per usual, we'll let him go on with the story.
Yeah. Grass Kings on Boom. New one written by Matt Kent and illustrated by Tyler Jenkins with a Led Zeppelin quote on the back.
What?
I should point out. Yeah.
I got the digital.
Tangerine.
Yeah.
It was sold out everywhere.
Yeah, it sold out here too.
Oh, you didn't get the cool cover?
Which one's the cool cover? Because I...
The one where he's sitting on like a junkyard throne with a hockey stick.
Oh, okay, because yeah, they had equal amounts of both, so I got the other one. I don't know. I guess I got the lame one. But I'll say Grass Kings is. It's okay. First of all, it seems Canadian again to me. maybe that's just because Matt Kent wrote it, but it just has that vibe to me. But it's a kind of story about what looks like a sort of off the grid city in the middle of. What I would imagine kind of the central part of, again, I'm saying Canada because it just feels very Canadian to me. It's kind of the central part of Canadian, like, you know, dotted by lakes and trees, but no real mountains, nothing real, not a lot of topography. So there's just this tiny little city that's almost like its own sovereign country, and which also kind of ends up becoming kind of a character of this sort of crime story. It's kind of hard to pin down in this first issue, except you get immediately the tone, you know, generally contemporary, feels like maybe, you know, at least in the last 20 years, maybe even, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say. Some people dress in the 70s. It's really weird. I feel like I'm getting off the rails here a little bit. Sorry. I can hear myself talking back to myself, and it's really distracting.
Wow.
It's this Skype thing. Anyway, I hope something can be salvaged out of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can actually hear a little bit of an echo. Like, when you talk, like I can hear your voice trailing in the background just a smidge.
Oh, yeah, I can hear it, too. It's just it's a little probably louder than that because it sounds like it's really distracting.
You want someone else to take over?
Yeah, why don't someone else take over for a second? I'm gonna turn my Wi-Fi off and turn it back on again or something.
Brian, you want to give it a run?
It kind of felt like a less rounded out Briggs Land, whereas Briggs Land was about a family that had like off the grid underpinnings and had the whole, I don't really want to go all the way on and say white supremacist belief system, but kind of white supremacist adjacent belief systems, or at least some members of the family did, and it kind of spawned the entire off the grid, you know, commune rural militia aspect of it. This one didn't quite feel as defined in that way. It just kind of felt like here's this group of families or this family with an extended family that all have this small patch of land that's been a patch of territory for various groups over the decades and centuries. Indians, various tribes had it, then, you know, settlers had it, pilgrims, it looked like. I was thinking it more like along the lines of like North Dakota, Wyoming-ish. And then there's a town on the other side of the lake called Cargill, where it's a little more of a town with residences and drugstores and a police chief that's actually, you know, hired by the municipality. And there's a missing girl, and that's kind of all they really give you. This was a lot more straightforward in every aspect. Like, Matt Kent's stories either tend to be like depth, where it's like a straightforward murder mystery, but it takes place in a really weird locale that kind of just makes it more Matt Kent-y. And then there is stuff like Pistol Whip and Red Handed, which is more of a straightforward murder mystery in a town that looks normal, but it's just super wacky and filled with weirdos. This felt like Matt Kent writing a standard, like, drama series with, like, a murder mystery involved. And I don't know. I didn't dislike it, but it didn't feel like a Matt Kent story to me for some reason.
I think the family kind of undertone with the like a kind of Greek-stricken father who seems to have lost a wife and then a young daughter, like that kind of has the Matt Kent vibe to me, where it seems like his grief will sort of become a character, if you will.
That guy, yeah, but the rest of it kind of didn't feel signature Matt Kent to me, but maybe it's just because it's one issue. I don't know.
Yeah, it is one issue, and I thought the intro with the Indians and the tribes and the fighting over the area set a nice tone, but it was very, like, when it was over, I was like, oh man, there's a lot there, but there's not a lot there. Like, this is a mystery in every way. Even the story is a mystery to me.
Yeah, like, why have people been fighting over this land for the last 400 years or plus? You know what I mean? Why is this kid breaking in? And the one guy, he seemed to be the only guy in town who's like, I'm just going to give you a tour and then drive you back home. Whereas everybody else in town was like, yeah, I would have shot you in the face. It's just, I don't know. You have no idea what's going on with this land. You have no idea why they're separated and, like, not part of the state or country that they live in. You know, everyone outside says they're squatters and they're tax dodgers, but they have a town that's been there for years. You know, I don't know. And then there's the missing girl. Then that just got weird at the end. And they put you in, they told you a lot, and none of it meant a thing, in my opinion. It was more or less a tour of the town for this outsider with a little tidbits about the people inside the town, and then it was over.
I feel like there'll be a payoff, and it'll be end up, if it's going to be worth it at all, it will have been worth it when you get, like, a trade or a whole story to kind of go further into without having to wait month to month. I think this one might suffer in its infancy by being a monthly book, because, yeah, like you said, I generally don't like to use the whole, like, you're not getting much, but I really didn't feel like you get much here. Like you said, it was like a quick tour through the town, like, there's the local drunk, there's the local weirdo, there's the ice machine, now get the fuck out of here, and, you know, we'll see you next month.
We're gonna go blow up that stump. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? We're gonna go blow up that stump. Hey, there's that stump tomorrow, we're gonna go blow that up.
Yeah, it is a little weird if you don't want this kid to come back. Like, you at one point you think he would ask, like, why are you showing me this again? Like,
right, yeah. I don't know.
Like, I appreciate it.
Like, thanks? But, what?
Might have been more Matt Kent-y if it was an Amish town and there was an Amish murder mystery. That might be kind of neat.
And they had laser guns.
Like, they're just churning butter and cutting up bodies. I'd be like, oh, this is neat.
That just sounds cool on its own.
Right? He goes to plunge down the butter churn, and then it comes up all fucking red and bloody. And you realize he's in there, like, smushing brains or something. I don't know.
I don't really understand the title, Grass Kings. Like, I'm the king of grass.
Because it's Grass Town or whatever.
Grass Kingdom.
Yes, Grass Kingdom. That's the name of it.
a little trailer park fiefdom, I believe it is described.
True. In. Although it might have been funnier if it was about a landscaping company.
Right.
We're the Grass Kings.
And they, but it like comes to blows.
Yeah, it's like The Godfather with landscaping companies. Like there's two rival companies trying to take over the same suburb. Workers are finding themselves dead in the river.
There's some interesting, you know, I was thinking a little bit about, though, I wanted to dive into this just for a second. The art, this guy, Tyler Jenkins, he reminds me a little bit of Eddie Campbell a little bit, who I don't know about you, but I know him best from the From Hell series that Alan Moore did.
That and that.
About Jack the Ripper.
That and that book, The Years Have Pants, or whatever the hell that is.
I've never read that.
I bought it because it was Eddie Campbell and because I love From Hell and stuff. And I found it super cheap, and it always looked really interesting. And I bought it, and he drew and wrote the whole thing. And I remember I got about a third of the way through, and I'm like, God, this is boring. It was like, oh, yeah, I'm at the bar. Now I'm at home. Now I'm at work. Now I'm at the bar again. Now I'm talking to a woman. Now she's gone. I was like, wow, this is great. Does anything happen? I'm not saying he's had a sword fight out an alien, but does he, like, have... does he buy a candy bar that like he wins a lot, like a lottery or something, like
or like trips or stubs his toe or something?
Yeah, does he go to Ireland? Anything?
Yeah, that's the one thing. I was gonna say the one thing about Eddie Campbell in From Hell though that he was able to do is he had that kind of, you know, the super loose gritty style, which I think fits well with a, you know, kind of a noir story or not, you know, kind of a mystery story like this. But it also kind of buries a lot of details that you might not generally notice. And I thought there was a couple of cool shots as if it's a film. Cool, you know, frames throughout this that had some interesting little subtext, like the sheriff at the end who clearly, you know, sent the kid over to look for some missing girl, has some kind of strange tattoos. Also, he's got these. The reason I thought it was Canadian, his uniform has these weird shoulder pads with like little stars on them, which I cannot say if those are stars or maple leaves. I thought maybe it was supposed to be a little drawing of a maple leaf.
Oh, see, now I wish I had it in front of me.
Yeah, there's a little, like, when they're going through the Grass Kingdom, there's, like, interesting little, like kids' toys and stuff that are kind of, like, discarded. Looks like they're not used any longer. Like, at one point, maybe this was a place where kind of, like, you know, hippies, maybe, had, like, dropout people had kind of come, which maybe gives you an idea of people who might be living there now. I don't know, there's just some, like, there's some subtext to some of the drawings in the background that I can't help but imagine that Matt Kent had, like, you know, in writing his script had been pretty specific about what should be seen. So, you know, going by that, I can't help but think that this is, you know, there's a lot of things that are important that are sort of buried in the panels.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. I think when this is all over, this will probably be a pretty cool little story and I'll probably be pretty stoked. But as a standalone, it's very, it does kind of suffer in that thing where, like, when it ends, the end of the first issue, it doesn't necessarily end at a cliffhanger. It just sort of ends at, like, a commercial break kind of vibe.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, it is the exposition chapter. So, I do try to give number ones that benefit of the doubt because I think as it grows, it is going to get better. But, you know, we had that issue with Loose Ends where we're like, how is this going to be a 4-issue series? Like, not much happens in the first quarter of the story. By the way, I'm on the third, and I don't know how they're going to finish it.
That's weird because I was actually looking at that last week. I'm like, man, I should really get these because I kind of like the first one, but I'm like, I'll just wait. So I guess I'm still waiting. So wait a minute. Grass Kings, let's number it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go. Why not? honestly, like, I really dig the art. The story itself was all right, but it didn't really do anything for me. I'm gonna give it like a 6.
Yeah, I'm in a 6 as well. The artwork is fantastic. I love it, but the art, it just doesn't feel like Matt Kent to me. But it's something that I will check in on again maybe 5 months down the road. Maybe like check some reviews, like once the first volume or something, or if like there's only gonna be one volume when the trade comes out. I'll check in on again, see what people are saying about it, and then maybe go from there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go. You know, as much as I had some issues here and there, I will say, actually, I scored it a lot higher, even though I said I had a few issues. I said 7.5, so I think it's still going to be awesome. I think part of me just wishes it was a little longer.
Yeah.
But I still think it's going to be great. So, yeah, I definitely scored it higher. But and my wife wants to point out that she loved it. She thought it's great.
Well, she's more than welcome to come on and talk about it. I have to get another phone over there.
Oh, she said she got like a real X-Files vibe from the whole thing, which I
can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at old 7.
Especially with the way it ended, but I don't want to give that away, so.
Mm. Where they're all robots.
I do love the fact that the sheriff looks like the singer from Electric Light Orchestra. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, when I was trying to say it was contemporary, it was because the cop car looks kind of contemporary, but everyone is dressed like wicked 70s in this.
Yeah.
Well, it was the best fashion.
It is.
That's why I'm bringing it back with what I'm wearing right now.
So did we lose Chris, or...
I said 7.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Did anyone else hear it?
Oh, sorry.
I did.
Damn.
Yeah, I said 7.
Well, all right then. There you have it. Over under, wow. So I guess now we're going to talk about over under of owning property. And
I forgot already.
I know, right? Well, I was trying to mull it over here a little earlier. I know I've been a little quiet this show, but there you go. That's probably why. And I'd like to go and just blanket the whole thing and say the entire thing is overrated, but I don't want to do that because that's cheap. So overrated about owning property, yeah, doing all your own yard work. That's bullshit. That's what I hate the most about I mean, I don't own the property here, but I do maintain it, and nothing drives me nuts more than when I have to come home from working 10 hours to come home and then cut the grass and rake fucking leaves and pick up the twigs and drives me nuts. I hate it, and if I had the money, I'd pay someone else to do it. I know some people get enjoyment out of that shit, but no thank you.
No, I hate it. My overrated would actually be having to update the inside of the house if and when you were deciding to sell it. Because people's tastes on interiors and floors and everything, everything is... Everyone's taste is different, but everything trends seem to change in the same way jeans and like summer clothes do, which is fine if you're buying jeans and summer clothes because you can buy a pair of pants for $30. You can't buy kitchen countertops for $30. That's an investment.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sell your house and then all of a sudden people start walking through and like, well, I prefer this kind of countertops. It's just like, I don't have $5,000 to go fix it for you. Buy the house and fix it yourself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm terrible at keeping up with trends, especially like now that I'm in my 40s and people tell me what's awesome. Like now I'm like, why don't the... I'm officially at the point now where I actually am not aware of what's cool.
I don't care what people think is cool. Like if I ever have my own place that I can do that kind of stuff, like I'm going to decorate it the fucking way I want it. I'm never going to be one of those people that's like, well, I got to think about what happens when I sell it. No, I don't care because I'm the one that has to live here for the time being. So I want it to look the way I want it to look. No, well,
I'm just saying like, I'm the guy that like, if I owned a house, I'd still have shag carpet and go, wait, this is out. I had no idea.
Yeah. On the walls.
Yeah, I would. I'd have like a fake moose head on the wall and I'd be like, wait, this is out of style. I had no idea.
What do you mean you don't know who Youth Today is? Got so many posters of them.
Oh, dude. Everyone's like jocking that thing, too, with like all those bands playing again this summer. I'm like, dude, is this thing ever going to like officially like be over?
Yeah. It's already lost its luster.
The one friend of ours was like, God, don't you? What about nostalgia? I'm like, yeah, dude, have you seen some of those reunions on YouTube? That shit has been ruined, son. Sorry.
Yeah, it's weird. We're doing, you know, I'm doing the, we're, Murph from Undertow is in town this weekend, and just visiting family, so we're all getting together after this to go get lunch.
Sweet.
All the Undertow guys. And we got an offer to do more shows, too. I don't know. I don't think we might do one of them, but we'll see.
You guys even got Ryan Murphy to...
I feel like it's different if a lot of the guys still play music, but like a lot of these bands, like once those bands were done, like most of them didn't move on to other things, I think.
No, I think a lot of them did. I don't know.
Well, I feel like, you know, the Mars Volta kind of disintegrated, but now, like, At the Drive-In is touring and they're putting out a new record. I'm like, that kind of, you know, whatever. It was still the same group of guys. They were still playing together. It's still a thing. But, like, Into Another, like, two of the guys died or something, and they filled it up, and now they got more guys than they did before, and it's just like, dude, you guys do not sound at all the same whatsoever.
Yeah, can Richie do that anymore? Can he do that singing anymore?
No, he can't.
Yeah, they put out a new EP like a year ago, and it's awful. It is really awful, and like I have such fond memories of that band because I loved them when everyone else hated them.
Yeah,
and now everyone loves them, and they're awful and super old. They're literally being wheeled out on stage, and it's like, I guess we're gonna do this set. Awesome.
Well, it's just like, you know, I have to feel like the guy who was the driving force between the majority of their songs back then is the one that died, so...
I think they... Musically, I think
he was the bass player that
died. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you don't think the bass player had a lot to do with the...
Musically, I think they sound okay. But I just
guitar
don't...
player.
I just don't think it's there anymore. It's a shame because when they were great, no one liked them.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, the guitar player... Again, was awesome back then, but after Into Another, like, he fell off the face of the earth, man. They had to track him down to try and get him to do it again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He did not do another band.
He was living on a farm.
Yeah.
In Oregon.
Which is fine, but I don't know.
Yeah, man. I think I heard that.
It's just... I hate to keep picking on Into Another because, you know, they were always so awesome, and I still listen to all their old stuff. I have the tattoo on my arm. But like
that Seamless record is freaking perfect,
right?
That's the one I jammed the most.
But I don't know. I have to believe that a lot of those bands just are not going to be able to pull it off, and a lot of it's just a cash grab. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for us, if we do, I mean, I'll tell you, we were offered a European tour, which we probably would not take because it's going to be too long. Brian can't be away from work that long. But we were also offered a Japanese tour, and. Like, the money doesn't really mean anything to us because there really isn't any money, but the idea of being able to travel, like, this would probably be my opportunity to see Japan before I die. Like, part of me is like, yeah, let's do it, like, for that reason. So there is still, like, it's not necessarily for the music man as much as it is. Although, I mean, I would play with those guys anytime because it's super fun, and we're all still friends. And we have a text thread that's been going on since we all had cell phones that, you know, we still keep up with, so... And, you know, John and I do still play constantly. Mark just this last, like, 6 months ago decided he's kind of done playing live music. So, I mean, it really was only recently that we haven't. Of course, I can't say that for Murph. The last time he played, so Undertow had played a show a few years ago. It was going to be like our final show ever. We're on a serious this time. And we played a show in Seattle with, like, Integrity. And we flew out these bands, and it was awesome. We had played a show, like, 6 years earlier. And that was like kind of our reunion show in Seattle. The last time Murph had played drums from when he played on stage was that time 6 years previous. Like, he hadn't practiced at all the entire time. I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He was a fantastic.
Nice.
You know, but it was just, it's weird to think that he hadn't really touched drumsticks in 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the whole cash grab thing doesn't bother me in the least. It's just, I don't know.
I just feel like if it's not going to be as good and or entertaining as it was back then,
I think it depends.
I don't want to see it. I'm sorry.
I think it depends on the person.
Depends on the band.
My thing is, I'm over it. And I don't have $100 to go see a show either. So that's really...
Well, like I was telling Jeff, like, okay, I would be totally interested to see Gorilla Biscuits. And the only other one on there I really was ever into was Into Another, and I know they're terrible now. So, like, I'm not going to spend all that money to hope that Gorilla Biscuits is going to rule. I'm sorry.
Yeah. For me, it's just the bands on there that I would want to see. Either I missed them when they were around and don't want to try and pretend seeing them now is the same, and the bands that I like that I already saw. So.
What in the hell? How the hell did we get on this?
I don't know.
Oh my god!
It was you on property.
The Youth of Today posters.
Oh, that's what it was.
So wait a minute. That was Brian's. So now I guess one of you two want to. Chris, you got anything or? As the only property owner
overrated.
Here.
Well, repairs. I guess it's just kind of like all kind of what you guys were saying before, because it's like when you fix one thing, then you find out something, then there's another, and then there's another.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, like my brother-in-law, he ends up like redoing an entire room every couple of months. Like, oh, we just did the kitchen. Now he's gonna do the dining room. Now he's gonna do the downstairs. Now we're taking this wall down. Now we're putting this wall up. It's like, Jesus.
Well, you see, what makes it a little bit more bearable or enjoyable for me is I pretend like it's my fort.
I'm okay with that.
And I feel like I'm just fortifying my fort. So, like, I'm like, yeah, you know what? We got to do it this way.
See, I feel like if I had the money to not worry about shit like that, this wouldn't even be a conversation right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
But because I'll never be able to remodel an entire house or pay someone to cut my grass. Like, this is never going to be a thing for me.
Well, see, in this day and age of the internet, you can literally just go on there and find out how to do certain things. And they're not as hard as you think they are.
No, I've YouTubed like various car repairs that have saved me at least $50 each time. So
yeah, they'll walk you through it.
Yeah, I've also YouTubed car repairs where I'm like, nope, taking it to mechanic.
Oh yeah, if it's something like how to replace your engine block, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'll just give me an Allen wrench and I'll have it done by 2 o'clock.
That's speaking of Allen wrenches.
No, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, the resources are there.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, there are just some things that, you know, you need a skilled craftsman for, though.
Yeah. Right.
That's
someone who's been doing it for, like, years and years and years.
It's kind of how I've become...
Especially when you're dealing with electricity and, you know...
It's kind of how I've become the impromptu IT guy at work. Because although I sometimes go, how is this such a big problem? It's like it takes 5 seconds to fix. But then I realize that like sometimes people don't know how to ask Google what they're looking for or how to fix it. And then when I watch some people, the way they use a mouse and a keyboard, I'm like, oh man, they're really hampered by life. So Google is
Googling things like, why is computer sad?
Why no work computer thing, stupid? That's not that. Well, never mind. I'll just fix it.
You should just give up forever.
All right, Damien, owning property, overrated.
I guess the idea that everything you guys are saying, I mean, it's the idea that it's endless, like the repairs and stuff, like that sounds intimidating to me. I mean, I don't know if I will ever be in a position to have the perspective of what was truly underrated or overrated about it. But I think the idea that it's an end game, like once you get there, now you've made it. Like that's the dream. I think that's a little, you know, overrated. I know there's people who have said that like they've bought a house and they've lived in a house for a few years and then they sell it and immediately go back to renting. They're like, screw this sucks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess it all depends on the individual, but I mean.
Yeah, and where you are.
But if you look at it from like a common sense point of view, I mean, renting really is kind of the bad option. Well, not bad, but like I mean, it works for people, you know. But like in the long run, you know, it's like you're just giving your money.
Yeah, you're giving your money to someone else, and you don't have any real control over that. I mean, like any minute, you know, I could get the note that I have to be out in 30 days. You know, my place right now.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing: when your rent and your rent is $1,000, your rent's $1,000. When you got a house, and let's say your mortgage is $1,000. Oh, but guess what? Now you got to pay for all those repairs. Oh, guess what? Now here's the tax bill. You know what I mean? Tax bills and others, you know, $5,000. You know, it's like, awesome. Sorry, I mean, I know I know people who, like...
I have a rebuttal to that, but that's for my under.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. You can save it. But it's to me, and I'm surprised no one brought it up, but I'll just overrated taxes. Property taxes are ridiculous. There, I said it. Okay, overrated... For owning property.
Underrated.
Huh? Did I say over? Yeah, okay. So underrated. Owning property. I mean, I thought I had something. I thought I was going to come up with something. Let me think. If someone's got something, go ahead, because I don't have anything.
Well, again, I don't own property, but I go on the various gaming groups, for example. and I see all these pictures people post of their amazing, like, game rooms, media rooms, book office type library rooms, and I'm just like, that's so fucking awesome. I want that 1,000 times over. Like, all these people, they build these fucking giant shelving things into their walls where they're putting all their board games. Then they got a fucking TV right in the center of it with their video game consoles there. And they got, like, stadium seating and this gigantic gaming table all in one awesome room, and it's lit really well, and it's right next to the kitchen, so they're like, I make a pot of coffee, I play PlayStation all morning, I watch movies all day on my day off, and I'm just like, ah, oh, dude, if I had...
And then I go and have sex.
Okay. But no, like, I just, like, I go into people's homes, and I see their, like, giant library, and I just see books along the walls, and I'm like, God, what I wouldn't do to have that.
Yeah, but a lot of that's just decoration you can do in anywhere.
No, I'm talking about having that room that's like your sanctuary, like to. Like,
no, I know. I mean, you can only customize so far with renting. I get it.
But like, especially with like board game fanatics, like some of these people put together some just amazing game rooms that I'm like super jealous of, and I'm like. And, like, I wish I had, like, a fraction of it. Some of these people, like, have money to burn, obviously, because their game room is more like a parlor than a game room. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that. Somebody could just lay naked on the floor and just stare up at it and be like, this is heaven for a guy like me who has no hobbies outside of the house.
That's not, yeah, I would like one of those.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, being rent, one of the things about renting, like Chris was sort of saying, I mean, I don't feel like investing a lot into making the space my own because it's not my own. You know, we definitely do. I mean, it's full of our stuff and we do paint the walls and, you know, put pictures on it and stuff, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And once it's yours, you can be like, I'm going to put a fucking half pipe right here.
Yeah. I miss the days of basement half pipes.
Oh man, on one of the last tours I was on the East Coast, we played a kid's house and he had a half pipe, and I hadn't been on a half pipe in like, I don't know, like 15 years, and he had like a little 4-foot half pipe. And I was like, dude, can I try this out real quick? Sure. And dude, it all came back to me. Like, it took about 10 minutes, but I was able to do all this shit I hadn't done in like 15, 20 years. It was awesome.
I'm hoping that happens to me this summer because I've been thinking about getting a board.
You should do it, man.
I was actually looking at them yesterday, but I don't want to buy one off the internet because I don't remember what size of shit I like. Although there is this company out there doing a lot of reprinting of like old school decks. I'm like, maybe I should get this.
Mike Villalee's got a company called Street Plant.
Yes, he does.
That kind of caters to more of our age group, I would say.
Yeah, I figured I'd just go to the store around here, stand on a couple, get the measurements, and then maybe order online. Because, I mean, you can get it complete from this one place called Old Skull Skateboards instead of Old School. Mm-hmm. And you can get, like, and they got all the old, like
the band?
Yeah, right? That'd be hilarious if it was those guys. But, you know, and they have all these, like, old reprints that they're remaking. Like, the old, like, you know, the Tony Hawks, the Caballeros, the Villalees, the Hensleys. And they're reprinting all these old classic boards that I know a lot of people drool over, for, you know, at least in our age group. So it's like, man, maybe if I can remember some of them boards back then that I really, really liked, if I can get it complete for $90, like that's kind of cheap compared to what I used to pay. But then, of course, I'm start looking at blanks, and I'm like, I don't remember what size I like.
You 8x32.
Yeah, I know what you like.
Apollo 100, best board ever.
Yeah, they don't make it anymore, though.
G-Nest Street Chomp, best board ever.
I remember that.
I loved that thing. All right, where were we?
I'm trying to remember some of the old decks that were on there, too. But there was a lot of awesome ones. Anyway, yeah, right. I'll go really quick because I just thought of something with underrated. It kind of just adds on to Brian's. But like, if you go somewhere, you know, in a more rural setting and you got a ton of land, like, you can do a lot with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of neat. I figure like that, like, you know, like you guys were saying, basement halves, like, yeah, well, I can put a whole skate park in my backyard. Or, you know, you go to some of these farms out in like down south here and people build their own gun ranges, which is kind of neat, you know, but I don't know.
That turns into your nice white supremacist compound.
Yeah, right. So there's, you know, who knows? Could be good, could be bad, but, you know.
You haven't seen a person who's not white in like, the real world in 3 years, and all of a sudden you're, like, super paranoid because you see it all on TV. You're like, I need to buy a bunch of guns. And then you build your Dr. Satan lair underneath the barn, and next thing you know, you're starting up the Firefly Clan, and
I don't know.
Now like you're in a Rob Zombie movie for real.
That's where it gets a little, you know, whatever. Like, people who think they're going to be a hero with a gun, like, you ain't going to be that hero. Give it up. Knock it off. But if you want to go to the range, that kind of shit, like, I understand. Because, you know, I've gone to ranges. Ranges are okay. But, yeah, if I can go to my friend's farm in Indiana and not have to worry about, like, you know, we can do stupid games, I guess. Like, you know, put up a battleship, like, targeting thing and then play battleship. That's kind of neat.
You could be like my boss and shoot rats in your yard.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. But, you know, there's a time and a place. You know what I mean? I don't know. What? Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here, dude.
Sweet. Underrated.
Brian stole it.
Whackity smackity do.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. Basically making the place your own.
Yeah. That's definitely a huge thing. So that's...
And the fact that you can go in your yard and shoot off your BB gun and your slingshot.
Well, I feel like that all depends on the area, though, too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in the city somewhere and your neighbors see that shit, they might not take too kindly.
Yeah, so that's more underrated about having neighbors far away.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I do. I go outside and I shoot small birds and
you don't.
Squirrels. No, of course I don't.
Dork.
I shoot, like, I take, like, old watermelon, like, watermelons that we have that are pretty much, you know, not good anymore, and I just put them outside and I shoot those.
God, I want to do that so bad, but it's, you know, that's or the only just, thing because like, it's not my place that we go to.
No,
we go...
I do not shoot small animals.
Plus, I got
I'd shoot people before I shoot small animals.
Plus, I got my bow and arrow, and I can't really. I feel like I can't really bring that in my backyard. But if I go out to someone who has a lot of land, then
you know
I
what?
Can
speaking of,
it.
I was kind of thinking about like checking out. Like, I want to get a crossbow.
That'd be awesome. But again, that's the problem. Where are you going to use it? You know, you're going to have to come out to the
right.
farm with us.
Yeah.
But we don't really do that much anymore.
Your neighbor's like, oh, what are you doing?
Right.
Why don't you come on over and I'll show you.
Well, I guess we should move into the best thing ever. I've been kind of tossing around what to do on this one. I don't figure I'll just go the sarcastic route and be like, oh, yeah, I got rear-ended last night. So that's totally going to be awesome for my week. So,
that sucks.
Yeah, big time sucks.
That's lame. Sorry, man.
It happens, you know what I mean? But it just sucks because the guy was clearly not paying attention, seeing as though we were at a fucking red light. And he still just kind of smashed into me. So it's like, dude, come on. Like, the car is barely 2 years old. I'm still got God knows how much longer to pay off on it. Now I got to hope I can get it fixed. I don't know. Whatever. It's annoying.
I hate that sound, too.
Oh, dude, it's the worst. Because it was funny, too. You know, well, Brian was with me, but it's like the first thing out of my mouth, like, well, now I got to get a new car. I mean, overall, it doesn't look that bad, but the car is louder now, so, you know, the exhaust got fucked in the process.
Well, if it's his fault, then his insurance is going to have to cover repairs.
Right, but, you know, like my last car when I got rear-ended, well, the repairs cost more than the car was worth, so they just junked it on me. You know what I mean? They totaled it. I don't think that's going to happen here, but...
Well, what year is your car?
It's a 2014.
No, they're not going to junk it.
I don't know. You don't know. It depends on the extent of the damage.
Is it still drivable right now?
Kind of, but like I said, it's louder, so the exhaust is fucked up, and I don't want to be driving on the street and then have the muffler fall off. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
So he hit you pretty good, then, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, his headlight is sticking out of my bumper, so...
Ooh.
I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't going 40, but he wasn't going 2 either. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We'll see. We'll see. But again, I won't find anything else out until at least Monday, so that's super annoying.
Sucks, man. Sorry.
Eh. We'll see. We'll see.
I'll have to read that later.
Brian?
About the old man with his Coachella demands. Well, let's see. I just found out that I have a heart monitor on my phone, which is pretty cool because it just told me I am not sad or happy. I am neutral at the moment.
That's
and my heart
weird.
Rate is just about in the center. So that's neat. Let's see what else. I watched the movie Fences this morning, and it was great. Apparently, I don't think everyone's going to love this movie because it literally takes place in the guy's house, backyard, and front porch. But if you can deal with like 2 hours of nonstop conversations and anecdotal type stuff, yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it.
Yes.
No, I was just reading these list of demands. Number 9 is kind of hilarious.
Oh. You got those already.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know. I don't really have anything. It was warm yesterday. That was cool.
That was awesome. I was stuck at work.
But then, like, immediately dropped, like, within, like, minutes. But, I mean, yeah, I mean. Nah, I got nothing. Got nothing. Sorry.
Today is the 6th sunny day in Seattle since October.
Wow.
So, that's pretty nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess mine, besides my rambling, incoherent summation of Grass Kings earlier, which is pretty great, that thing I just sent you guys, that article about the 56-year-old man seeks young female Coachella companion to meet his 20 creepy demands, that article is horrifying.
Dude, I hope it's not real, because I'm at number 19 right now, so this is really weird.
It's so, I mean, if it's real, that's the saddest thing. It's from back in January, so maybe this has made the rounds already, but I'm just discovering it.
It reminds me of the Onion article that I saw yesterday about the 49-year-old lawyer thinks he can totally connect with a 22-year-old girlfriend or something like that. And there's this whole, like, this weird article, and this guy's like, he's like, you know, sometimes I just think about, you know, I could wear skinny jeans if it meant hanging out with her and her friends. It was The Onion. It's just, that's what it, like, this reading that's just a little bit reminded me of that. Basically, the 50-year-old guy is still thinking he's got it.
I still like the one that you said, what was it, last Saturday, that one about Hoobastank?
Oh, that was great, yes.
That was the best one ever.
That one was pretty amazing.
How did it go again?
I didn't read the article. Just the headline was the former guitar player for Hoobastank will have your drinks in a moment.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's website.
Pure wit.
That website, the Hard Times. Like, I don't think it's super funny. Like, I know it's trying to be like the music version of The Onion. Like,
it's
the act-
not funny.
The articles themselves aren't funny, but man, that guy's got some amazing headlines. Like, if his thing
occasionally
was,
he'll nail it.
His headlines are like 90% perfect. It's just the stories. When I read them, I'm like, it was okay. They're not like where The Onion. Like, there are stories where I'm literally in my cubicle crying from laughing, whereas that guy's stuff is just kind of eh. But his headlines are perfect almost all the time.
Yeah, I didn't even know they actually had articles that went with them for a while.
I didn't either until people were just kept talking about how great it was. I'm like, all right, I should go to this guy's website and start reading some of the stuff. I'm like, eh. Like, if it was just a headline and a photo, nailed it. This guy's on fire, but...
Sweet. So I guess that's going to wrap us up for the show for today.
For the year.
It's my pick now for next week, so I'm actually headed to the store right now. So I'll text you guys when I get back, and then we'll have to post it on the interwebs for everyone else if they want to read it and join in the fun. As always, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge, and you can find Damien at Damien Johnston. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast or facebook.com/thecomicroast. And, have a good week.